Carolyn just said that that was the most, that was the best, the most accurate description of the history. So I listened to the English. No, we're not going to publish it as it was like.
Call the September 10th, 2014 meeting of the Landmarks Preservation Commission to order. First item on the agenda is roll call. Present today is Duke York Chair, Katie Chase, Vice Chair, Chris Granfield, Jonah Jensen, and Jeff Williams. Also our two ex officios, Ross Buffington from the Wedge neighborhood and Marshall McClintock from the North Slope area. We're going to jump down to number four on the agenda since we have a couple of people that are not quite here yet. The National Register review for 3713 North 19th Street, Cushman Station. We have a staff report, please.
Yes. Review of the National Register nominations are advisory actions on behalf of the local government to comment and make recommendations to the Washington State Advisory Council on Historic Preservation. The commission may recommend listing on the register, may oppose listing, or may defer any comments. These recommendations, along with any received from the mayor or city council, will be forwarded to the SHPO. If both the mayor, council, and the LPC oppose the nomination, it is denied. If either supports the nomination, it will be forwarded to the advisory council. 3713 North 19th Street, Cushman Station. This National Register nomination for the Cushman substation at 3713 North 19th Street includes the 1926 Neoclassical Revival Cushman substation, the North 21st Street steel lattice towers, and the non-contributing switchyard. The property represents the region's growth as a result of hydroelectric power production. The period of significance is 1926 to 1949, which is the date of construction up until the transmission line was rerouted. This is the only urban building constructed for the Cushman hydroelectric project. Effects of listing on the National Register, projects subject to review under SEPA, NEPA, and Section 106 that occur on or near the site of a listed property may be required to employ measures to reduce or mitigate impacts to the historic property. The property may be eligible for historic rehabilitation tax credits if listed or determined eligible for listing. The listing by itself does not restrict future alterations, nor does it affect future use of the property. To be eligible for the National Register listing, the property must be seen to meet the 7 standards of integrity as well as 1 of 4 listing criteria. The 7 standards are location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association. The criteria under which the Cushman substation is nominated include A and C. The Cushman substation meets the 7 standards of integrity. It is associated with the development of Tacoma and hydroelectric power. The property also embodies the distinctive characteristics of a type, period, and method of construction. At the time of construction, it was noteworthy for its design and engineering. Staff recommends inclusion on the National Register of Historic Places under criterias A and C. The purpose of this review is to make a recommendation to the Advisory Council regarding the historic significance of the nominated property.
Thank you. Any comments or questions on the part of the Commission?
I had one question. Is the building on the city register?
No. It is not presently, and this is a question that came up earlier. I'll just provide as a little bit of background. The origin of this nomination is actually through a mitigation step for some federal licensing that's being done for the Cushman Dam, and this was part of something that the SHPO had asked to be submitted.
Any other comments or questions? We hear a recommendation regarding this action.
I move that the Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission recommends the Cushman substation as eligible for the National Register to the Washington State Advisory Council on Historic Preservation.
I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Moving on to up the list, 3B, 732 Pacific Avenue, City Hall Historic District, exterior paint. Mr. Chris? Crispin?
Yes.
Okay, Ben Brennan. We have a staff report, please.
The 1888 Romanesque Revival Davies Building at 732 Pacific Avenue is a contributing structure to the Old City Home Historic District. The owner is proposing cleaning and removing loose paint from the facade, which will include filling in cracks with a lightweight concrete, sanding, caulking all the windows, and repainting with a three-color paint scheme, which is on the screen, which will be appropriate to the Victorian period. The owner has provided full potential paint schemes. Requested action is approval of the above scope of works. The Secretary of the Interior standards for rehabilitation apply. The historic character of our property will be retained and preserved. The distinctive materials, features, finishes, and construction techniques or examples of craftsmanship that characterize property will preserve. Chemical or physical treatments, if appropriate, will be undertaken under the gentlest means possible. Treatments that cause damage to historic materials will not be used. The building is located in the Old City Hall Historic District and as such is subject to review by the LPC. New paint scheme will be compatible with the Victorian era and the surrounding properties. The products used will be compatible with the materials and period. Physical cleaning will repair existing features and not introduce new harm. Staff recommends approval of the application when final color and product specifics are provided.
And just to let the commission know, you all have the preferred color scheme with a description of the type of product that's going to be used.
Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
That's easy because that's my favorite.
I think this looks like it was D of the Ford.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it just was in no particular order. I just pulled them out of my Photoshop file and went, that's the fourth one I sent out. But my wife was like, D it is, so now it's A. So
I actually thought they were all pretty good. So
thank you.
Any other comments or questions on the part of the commission?
At the very top here, this is brickwork or terracotta of some sort?
No, that's actually a metal, the original metal roofing on it. So we were looking to possibly replace that, and then when I found out that it was going to cost probably more than that building or two building next to it, I went, no. So we're going to patch it really nice and make it look really good. We're not going to mess the integrity of it. It's actually pretty much intact except for the gutters on the apex there. We had that repaired several years ago because it was causing some leaking issues inside. We had some plaster falling off on the top floor before we renovated. But we're just going to paint it, and once it's patched up.
Thank you.
I do have the actual paint swatches here, so I can pass this around so you guys don't, if you need to, or...
Anybody need to look at those?
Okay. I'll take them.
All right.
Move one back.
Yeah. Okay.
We have a swatch bomb wearing the crown.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Do I hear a motion?
A motion to approve paint scheme as provided. It was our option D, so.
Or 732 Pacific Avenue. You're a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
She's approved.
Looks nice.
Excuse. You certainly
are. I had a way to hang out.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it. Ruben, thank you.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chair, we have Mr. Block here for the ARC discussion, but Ms. Osborne for the first design review is not here. And I would offer that if it's all right with the commission, we proceed since Mr. Block's here with the discussion on the porch balcony.
I think that's a great idea. We get that taken care of, and if Osborne shows up, we can go back. Could we get a staff report, please?
Sure. So this is actually an ARC. We had talked about doing this a little bit earlier, but there were some scheduling conflicts, and so this is a no-action advisory opportunity to give some feedback. And if you look in your packets, I believe you'll see in the back of the packets, several slides under this section here. It says 1218 to 1220 North I Street. The owners of these two houses, which are mirror images of each other, matching floor plans, are proposing to build a matching second story porch balconies on both houses that would also mirror one another. These houses are in the North Slope Historic District right across the street from Lowell Elementary School. I'm just going to try to. If everybody has it in front of them, I probably don't have to worry about bringing it up on screen. So they were both built in 1889 by the Washington Building Association, which was a building and loan association that functioned kind of like a cooperative to allow middle-class families to purchase homes with low interest rates and fixed payments. The architectural design was created by the firm Procter & Dennis and was used to build at least 7 homes in Tacoma in the North Slope and Stadium area, as well as a number of them on Hilltop. The examples that we found so far are 505 and 511 Northeast Street, as well as 718 South J Street. And those examples have had modified second-story porch balconies, and the pictures of those are included. The adjacent houses to the south of 1218 and 1220 all have second-story balconies, although these are architecturally quite different and a little bit newer, at least the two on the end are. In 2009, the Landmarks Commission approved the second-story balcony at 1214 North High Street under the design guidelines that were in effect at the time. They've been updated since. These houses all have unobstructed views. Lowell Elementary is a fairly low building across the street, and so naturally I think there's some desire to take advantage of that. As I said, this is just an opportunity to give feedback regarding this proposal, and I think that the proposed approach is similar to the picture you'll see at 511 Northeast Street. You provided that photograph. That's the concept that the owners are working with or hoping to do. And so just for sake of discussion, the North Slope design guidelines for porches are as follows. Retain existing porch and porch details. The original design elements of existing historic porches when present should be maintained. Major changes to configuration or ornamentation should be avoided. Missing or deteriorated details such as columns and railings should be repaired and replaced in kind. Two, avoid adding architecturally inappropriate details. Items such as porch columns reflect the architecture of the home, and it goes into tapered columns and whether or not they fit in craftsman homes and so forth. Basically, not mixing architectural styles. And then three, replace missing porches with designs and details that reflect the original design if known, and avoid adding conjectural elements. Staff suggests, following as a beginning discussion points, is the concept appropriate under the design guidelines, and based upon similar examples, can a second-story porch balcony be incorporated into both houses without harming the essential character of the historic district? Secondly, what are significant design elements or points that should be considered by the architect or designer? And then three, any recommendations or feedback. And so that concludes staff remarks. I don't know if Mr. Block, if you had wanted to provide an overview.
Overview is basically, it was your neighbor's idea. She's being kind of flaky, but if one doesn't do it, one question would be, if one doesn't do it, could the other one do it? I know, obviously, our houses are mirror images, so that's one question. And then ours has the original columns on it, so we want to keep the integrity of that. Theirs does not, but.
And you, on this, I noticed on both of them, you've got that center portion that's shingled. You would match that shingling,
yes,
on the wall.
Correct, exactly.
Yeah, of the, yeah. Cool. I don't feel like one would preclude the other from doing it, personally.
I don't either. I think that you can certainly get approval for both of them to do this from Landmarks Preservation, whether you get permits and actually do,
yeah,
it or not,
yeah,
is an individual choice.
Mm-hmm. I have to say that I'm opposed to doing this, I guess, in a pretty strong way. So let me articulate that.
Okay.
And and then other people might have other ideas, but you know. But these two houses are really in remarkably pristine condition. And I really hesitate. I would hope the commission would look very carefully at making any major changes to the front facade of either of these two houses. They are prominent houses on the most prominent street through the district. The situation, the example that I've seen that looks the most close to being something that perhaps might be original is the one at 718 South J. And the other thing that I really want the commission to think about, and I think the owners to think about, is that while an original little porch, and I've seen some of these types of folk Victorians that have a little porch, a little sort of widow's walk, if you will, kind of right there. This would basically have to be purely decorative and not functional. Are we talking about adding a door to access this porch? If people are going to actually be on this porch, then the code means that the railing is going to have to be considerably higher. That's the thing that upset people about the house that's next door when that was approved, was that the railing is way out of proportion to the house, as is the case with the railing on the yellow house. The railing, that one was approved by the commission. That railing is just totally out of proportion. The railing on the next house was added before the district was created. That one also meets current code standards and is also out of proportion to the front of that house. The second one from the end, from the left there, is that balustrade has been added back, but it's the right size and it's not one that's accessible for people to be out there.
The right size proportionally for the house.
That's right.
But it doesn't meet present code.
That's right. That's right.
My understanding is there's a minimum that you can go to meet current code and still not, you can get I went through this on one of my houses, that you can actually get a shorter wall than what would currently be required by code, given the historic feature of the property. Am I wrong?
There's some wiggle room, but it really depends. When you're talking about creating something that's totally new versus something that you're restoring, there tends to be less flexibility.
The flexibility when, specifically when you're adding something that you expect people to be at, to be on. That's one of the things go ahead.
We just recently redid a railing on a house right down by Wright Park, and the second story over the porch, it did have a door access to this area, but the railing was proportional to the house, and it was only 24 inches tall. And we were allowed to redo that, but we had to block the door with a sign advisory that it wasn't public access and that it was for maintenance purposes. The door was for maintenance purposes or fire purposes only.
Was it a public building or was it a residence?
Attorney's office. I think that's...
Yeah, public.
Public, yeah.
Right. Because, I don't know, I think on the houses that I've done, I understand trying to build something completely brand new may be a different story, but the inspectors have allowed it to be, you know, non-standard.
Instead of 36, 32.
Exactly. And so that would be the question I've got is, you know, because I think his proposed drawing here, or whatever this white house is most closely resembles his house, the one at 511 North E.
Yeah, the one at 511 North E is closest to my house.
Do you know how tall? Because to me it looks like that would just continue along with that sight line.
Yeah.
Exactly the way that on his house like it would. And they've got a window going out to that deck as well, so I don't think it will require a door.
I mean, these are all things that in terms of the actual building code requirement, I mean, we can sort out and respond to the commission with if the, you know, I think that I mean, there may be significant problems with, from the building code perspective, we'd have to talk to our building official about some of those things. Like, if there's going to be, like, a strict requirement for 36 inches, then obviously that's going to take it way above the sill line in the house and so on. But we can have that discussion, you know, as a code discussion in terms of the... So I guess I just put that out there. I don't know if they require a door. I think on the house that was done on, and I think believe these are just all windows.
Those are just all windows. He doesn't actually have a door to it. So
I can interrupt you. I think the problem with that is if this isn't a truly second floor deck, if this is just a roof that's accessible by window.
Well, we'd like to do a door, but
yeah. But I think there is going to be some code issues, but those, like Ruben said, those can be addressed if you want to take it to the building department. But from my standpoint, if there's no door leading out there, there's just windows, then we're into the business of removing a historic element and replacing it with a non-historic element for no real good reason other than a deck that would be illegal in the city's mind to occupy, and yeah. Therefore, if that were the case, I would have strong reservations about it. If it is a fully accessible deck, and they're willing to accept the low railing, and we're willing to accept the window being replaced with a door, then I think that we could talk about it.
Okay.
But if all it is a flat roofed porch rather than a sloped roof porch, I would have serious reservations about that.
Cool.
Will you need to change the columns and the porch at all to take the weight of the deck vice the
I actually have more columns in the picture there shown. So our neighbors would have to because they have metal railing. So
looking at the symmetry and the design of the picture of 1218 and 1220 North I Street, I'm guessing that if the railing were put on this to present-day code, it would change that balance and symmetry significantly and change the architectural look of the house. If it were put on there to balance, it then would not be within code for an appropriate railing. And you likely would not get an approval to put a door out to that deck. I think it's a very awkward situation looking at it from either
okay. That's 36 inches and what's the minimum requirement for that?
Yes, correct.
But I mean, if those are 32 deep and you're willing to leave a window, then I think that's a different conversation.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's just, I think it's a matter of, you know, what's that floor or what, you know, where's the ceiling of your porch and then how what's the height from there up to that banding that you would continue across.
Yeah, well,
getting depth at that, and then if the building department is going to allow him to do that, because if it's close to 36, I don't think it totally is. It's probably more like 30.
It's nowhere close, though. I mean, it's like...
Well, once you get structure in there, floor structure and everything.
Those windowsills are like 12 inches, maybe 16 inches.
Yeah, it would be, I would say, about knee height, if not lower.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I think my main concern with it is that it's on the front facade of the house. I mean, I understand that it would be nice to have a deck to be able to take in the view. And if this was on the rear of the house, I mean, that's not where the view is. That would be less of an issue. But because it's on the front, the house and the design guidelines say the original design elements of existing historic porches, when present, should be maintained. And this is in pristine condition and has all of its integrity. So I would feel uncomfortable saying, yeah, completely alter it when it's already there. But that's my opinion.
It's just too bad because everybody else did it before. There's no grandfathering.
Yeah.
And who approved the yellow paint on that one? That was before my time.
We don't look at paint.
You got the
paint. So that was a situation. I love that. So we're down to a situation of either deny denying this request for the balcony or approving it, knowing that you're going to run into some real difficulties going through the next phase of this.
This is just a feedback briefing, so there's no action required by the commission.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Okay. Good.
So, if, and I don't know if I have, I think we have, we actually have, we'll have the audio on this, but basically there's some significant concerns that I'm hearing about both the intake, like keeping the integrity of the front of the house, that if, you know, if a railing could be accommodated and there was some room in code, that there, at least for some people, there may be some flexibility if you can keep that down and scale consistent. On the other hand, I'm hearing other folks say that really that's still a real uncomfortable with that approach, I think, just because of the fact that the houses are prominent and they have such architectural integrity. And so the code questions, I mean, we can go through and find out even what's possible from a code perspective if you're going to go do that, like where the floor is, what the railing height would be, and how at least from a scale perspective that would affect the appearance of the house. But before, I know that before they went down the design path, really wanted to get this early feedback from the commission and see how it that was. So today we can, and I can provide comments to you back if you'd like. But is there anything else from folks?
Any other comments? Oh, all right. Thank you. Have it. Thank you. We're back to 3A, 1021 North 10th Street, our slope district stairs.
Yeah, sorry.
I
thought it started at 6, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I said better reach better.
Give me the staff report, please.
Yes. 1021 North 12th Street is a conflicting structure in the North Slope Historic District. Built in 1900, it is a two-story, single-family vernacular residence. Past staff reports indicate that non-historic additions were removed in 2012 and a rare recessed window was approved. An expanded deck was approved in 2013. The owner is proposing replacing the rare 7-step staircase with an 8-step staircase that includes a 36-inch landing. Currently, with no landing, there is a drop down to the first step. The new staircase will extend further into the concrete pad, but will match the materials, tan flex boards, and white railings of the existing deck. The requested action is approval of the proposed scope of work. The standards that apply are the Wedge Neighborhood and North Slope Historic Special Review District guidelines for additions. 1, architectural style should be compatible. 2, additions should be removable. 3, additions should be sensitively located. 4, additions should be subservient in size, scale, and location to the principal structure. The building is located in the North Slope Historic Special Review District and as such is subject to review by the Landmarks Preservation Commission. The deck and staircase are not original, but the replacement staircase and materials would match what already exists. The staircase could be removed without harming the building's character-defining elements. The changes will be visible from the primary right-of-way, but the current deck and staircase were approved by LPC and proposed changes do not affect the design or introduce new elements. The changes would be subservient to the main structure in size, scale, and location. Staff recommends approval of the application.
And just to add a little thing, this is the landing up here. There is no landing presently at this below this door. And there really, from a code perspective and a safety perspective, there really ought to be.
Yeah, actually, when I had the house inspected when I bought it, that was something he brought up, but it's just... You choose your battles when you buy a house and what you're going to make somebody do. And I just decided not to bug him because he wouldn't do anything about it. I knew that. But it's really very unsafe, honestly. It's the where I come out, I park my car here, and I'm hauling luggage down there. I travel every week. It's just incredibly unsafe. And I got fed up with it, and I said, I have to get this changed. So...
So the style of railing that you're proposing, would it match the existing or would it match the deck railing?
I was going to match the deck railing just to keep it all similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so the same with the same Trex material. I would do that all exactly the same.
Yeah.
This is on the front of the house?
No.
It's actually the side of the house.
Okay.
This house is on a corner.
Yeah. Okay. Corner.
Right. And you were before us before to get approval on the deck.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right.
Looks very nice, by the way.
Hey, thank you. I like it a lot.
Go ahead.
So I certainly hope the commission would approve this. I think it's fairly straightforward.
Yeah, I looked at the stairway before when we were approving the deck and thought it'd be
because our code even then said that you're supposed to have 3 feet of travel or level surface in the line of travel coming out an exterior door. That maybe should have been addressed then, but we're not a code entity. So.
Well, exactly, and I thought the same thing because I know he had inspectors out there, and I'm sure they just inspect whatever's on the form. So it's it's passed. I'm willing to. I want to get a change.
I think it's a great idea. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, do we have a motion from someone? Anyone?
I move that Landmarks Preservation Commission approves the application for 1021 North 10th Street as submitted.
Second?
A second.
Seconded by Mr. Williams. Any other comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Great.
Motion passes.
Thank you. So I guess my next step, Ruben, is just to go to the building and get a building permit?
That's correct. And okay. You can do that, tomorrow if you'd like. And I can, Lauren or I can sign off on that permit. Otherwise, we typically have within the next week a written decision for you, but it's not necessary to get the permit.
So,
you can just come in and we'll let the permit staff know that it's
not. Okay. I need to get it taken care of. So. Okay, great. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. The last time I was here,
you were here. They got you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
We're good.
We're good.
Are we done?
Chair comments. Having none, staff comments.
Yes, actually I have quite a lot.
Welcome back, I think.
So we do have a lot coming up. September 20th to 21st is Maritime Fest. And I just heard back from Foss Seaport. They have hired a water taxi, which is what we were talking about, and they just got that done. Tours are going to be free. They're going to do 6 tours, 3 on each day, and the times are 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m., but they want tour guides. So if anybody knows a possible tour guide that can talk about maritime heritage, tours are about 25 minutes long.
On a boat.
And there will be 11 passengers on each boat. I've got Jim Horde as one of the tour guides, and then I'm also talking to Bill Barzna, David Bowe, Michael Sullivan, Brian
Caymans
from the library. I haven't had responses back yet, but we do need to get this done fairly quickly since it's happening.
Coming
in
up
a week.
She has found out about this
today. Yes. And I'm going to be putting out publicity materials, hopefully Friday or Monday, so.
I was thinking Gene Gerlich might be added to your list of people to contact.
I have not heard from him for a long time.
Okay.
If you could send me any contact information for anybody you can think of. Are there anyone who's
maritime historians in Tacoma?
Well, there is. I mean, the Foss Waterway Seaport should have a whole stable of folks, but they're asking us for tour guide recommendations too. So.
They have one person who said that he will do it if nobody else shows up, but they really want other people, and so they're hoping I would find 6 tour guides.
He does.
Today, basically.
What was the dates again?
September 20th and 21st. It's during Maritime Fest.
At 11, 1, and 3 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah, I got the date.
Tours are first come, first serve. They are free, and people need to be there half an hour before their tour to line up if they want to get on.
Are they providing the tour, any tour notes?
No. Yeah. Right now they're providing nothing, so I've just been asking people who might know something about Tacoma history off the top of their head. Michael Sullivan, who can just kind of talk about what's along the waterway.
Just make stuff up, basically.
I was hoping to get this panel earlier, but
no comment.
This is when they sent me the information, so.
And if you see, Michael.
I sent him an email, some messages. So
he
that's
wasn't in the office today, so
okay.
He's not ignoring you.
So that is next week, basically. And then October 18th, we have the Earthwise Nitty Gritty Industrial Art Show, and that's going pretty well. They have a lot of artists responding to show work. That's happening October 18th at 1 p.m. They have a coffee house that's providing free refreshments, the food truck lined up, they have an acoustic band lined up, and we're getting publicity materials out in the next few weeks for that. So hopefully everyone can attend, because I think that'll be a lot of fun. And they're also revealing their mural.
And then we are planning our holiday mixer for either November or December. So if the events team wants to talk about that at some point. I know JD had proposed having something for the Joe Carr anniversary. And then Ruben suggested a swing dance.
Wow.
A mixer. And this would be a mixer for people in the preservation field. So I'm hoping either November or December, because I think one event during the holiday season is kind of enough, since people want to spend some time with family also. So we need some ideas for that.
Is this the 150th anniversary?
Yes. Yeah. Some ideas for that, a location, a theme, basically everything. So I'll be working on that next.
I mean, I think the holiday party or the holiday gathering or whatever probably should be some sort of seasonal celebration as opposed to like a, you know, typical historic event. People are in kind of the revelry mood in the winter. And so there's a potential, you know, one thought is to actually like do like a, you know, a big band, brass band or something like that. And then, you know, have them play standards and have tickets and get dressed up and come out and do some big band dancing. I think that'd be great, personally, but that's just me.
Sounds fun. We'll have refreshments provided.
And we may take it for as a fundraiser.
Just someone who listens to big band music.
Gotta have a mirror ball trophy.
Yes. So are you looking for a venue suggestion?
You're looking for everything.
So, you know, your notion of the dance and so forth, the armory.
I thought the same thing. I thought the exact same thing.
What they used to do there, right? Yeah. So,
that's true.
So I can contact them and
that
are we thinking November or December? Does anyone have any
some folks
dates? I mean, try to do it early December or early November, not close to the holidays.
Yeah, I would probably say December.
December? Early December?
But and these are all, I mean, we're all fluid right now.
Yeah,
we're,
nothing is set for that. So send me emails. And then what else are we doing? We are planning the 2015 Preservation Month celebration. So
we're not starting in April.
I need a planning committee for that. I actually have a large response from people on city staff already and someone from Hilltop who were thinking the idea there was to do a spoken word competition for the youth, and they have some connections with some hip-hop artists. And so that's one idea, but the big idea would be the amazing preservation race that Ruben's very excited about. And I'm talking to San Antonio this week because they have one that's really successful. So I'm going to get ideas from
just
them.
Just like the reality TV show, except preservation.
Yes. And I'm talking to events.
Do that in LA, too.
Yes.
Yeah. So if anyone has ideas other than that.
It sounds like Jeff Williams is an expert on that.
Yeah.
Well, I've done it in LA.
Okay.
From what I can recall.
You've nominated now for that committee.
So I'll be sending out an email. I kind of just send out the request for people to join the committee, and then probably in a few weeks set up a meeting where we can all get together and start brainstorming ideas. I'll get the email with some list of potential ideas on there. So we can see where we go with that. We'll need a lot of staff, of volunteers I mean, for that, just to get all the events going and a lot of vendors and.
We will make t-shirts.
And of help for that. And then we also have planning for the 2015 US Open, which is happening in June. And I'm working with the Broadway Center because they've asked that we help them do a walking tour series downtown. They're gonna have costume docents, so they want us to help with the tour content and training of the docents, picking the locations. And I'm also gonna work with the economic development team just to see if we can get people routed towards restaurants or businesses. One idea was to have some sort of a package deal with museum tickets so people have basically a full schedule of events. So if anybody wants to get involved with that also, let me know. So working on quite a few things. I think that's it for now.
Can we start to put some of this stuff into the agenda under the comments or
yes,
whatever,
sure.
Just so we can track it with...
Sure, yeah, and
it sounds like there's a lot going on, and I'm overwhelmed.
Right now we're just ramping up. I mean, Lauren's back in the office, and so we didn't have a meeting in the second half of August, so we will, yes, we'll definitely do that. We'll actually put a standing item on the agenda to talk about these types of event updates and so forth. Now that she's full steam ahead, so
yeah, that'd be great if we could have a separate line item for events or whatever it is.
Ongoing
yeah.
Planning. Thank you. The only thing that I wanted to bring up is that that we're heading now to September. The city clerk's office is starting the appointments round for Landmarks Commission's reappointments. We have four terms coming up. Three are vacant, and then there's your term. Is coming up this for your position, and so I'll be sending notice out to folks just to remind them there should be some coming out from the city clerk's office. So just to let you know, Commissioner Ray has left the commission for he's moving, and then we have two others that have been vacant for some time. And so if folks know of people that would be good additions to the commission, please either have them contact me or Lauren, or have them, you know, I'll hopefully get the announcement out and folks can see that. I think city council is also especially interested in geographic diversity around the city. That's come up a couple of times during appointments rounds, and so just to let you know, and I don't want to surprise anybody when they see Landmarks Commission, you know, recruitment coming out, because it's the city council's policy to always have an open recruitment for every position. So it's and then please reapply. People be reapply. That's all I wanted to say about that, just to give you a heads up, because that'll I think their timeline is the next couple of weeks to start that process, because all terms start on January 1st. So that's all I have.
Anything else? We're adjourned.
I don't have any WT stuff on the agenda.
What's that?
Yeah,
the email you sent. Are they still working over there?
Okay. They are still working over there.
So, yeah.
I wonder if somebody started.